Audrey.
Hi, Adam. And welcome to our spooky episode of Adam.
Hi, Audrey.
How are you today?
Doing great. I'm definitely not texting my friends as we're starting the podcast today.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely didn't hit record when I saw you with your phone.
The worst. What are we talking about today?
So we're going to do, since we haven't discussed it, I will inform you. We were thinking about doing fun little holiday themed episodes around the times of the respective holidays.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about some of our Halloween costumes over the years. And maybe a little bit about scary movies.
Yep.
And we'll see if, how long we, or rather how short we can keep those conversations. So,
tell me about some of the stuff that you, well, I guess, like, do you have any Halloween traditions? Is there anything specific, like, to your family that happens around Halloween?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So when I was little, it's kind of funny because my mom does not like Halloween. She doesn't like scary things, doesn't like ghosts and witches and all of that.
Yeah.
But she loved trick-or-treating as a kid. And so she wanted us to have that experience.
Yeah.
So we weren't allowed to dress up as like ghosts and witches and everything, anything scary, which I think I was okay with because I don't like
scary things.
Yeah. Like I have a different set of things I don't like than my mom, but like, I don't know if I, at that time, I feel like I was scared of a lot of things too. Now I can dress up as whatever I want.
Right.
Still haven't actually dressed up as a witch. Well, unless I dressed up as like someone from Harry Potter once. I don't think so. Anyways, I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, no.
So great being an adult. But no, so we always did trick-or-treating. Yep. And it was really fun. And it was also really hard as I got older into like preteens and teens to be like, I'm not really supposed to trick-or-treat anymore. And it was like a huge grieving process. And one of the last times that I went trick-or-treating, I thought I was really clever because I was like, I loved dogs so much and I didn't have one yet at that point. But we had a neighbor who had a dog who was very well behaved, a Samoyed, which is like one of those big white fluffy dogs,
like a Alaskan. Sheepdog?
No, they're more like, like you would see them, I don't know, not Alaskan, but maybe
like,
just kind of.
Like kind of Siberian Husky style or like what?
They're like in that group more than.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More so than big, in like the fluffy, Chihuahua group.
Yeah. That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And super sweet, well-behaved, walked great. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I want to have that dog with me and just like walk it with me for trick-or-treat because I love it.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, sure. And so I was like, what can I do that has a dog as part of the costume? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be Air Bud's owner. Remember Air Bud movies?
Yeah, I remember.
Who's a golden retriever, actor, by the way.
That actor, sorry, I know this is like a weird tangent to take on, but that actor, the guy who played that guy, because that's like how well I remember it. I know him as that guy, but he's one of those actors that's in all kinds of stuff.
Oh.
And he actually was Mr. Noodle in Sesame Street.
Oh.
So like, basically the first, I haven't seen Sesame Street since I was a kid, but then of course I have children and you watch Sesame Street because if I had to give parenting advice, I'll give parenting advice on children's media all day because I think that's the safest thing to talk about. And I also think that's like the best thing to talk about. And Sesame Street is one of the top tier shows. There's always jokes for the parents. There's always fun for the parents. It's not just for the kids and you're not just like, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. There is still counting. There is still like letter of the day and stuff, but realistically speaking, there's always something interesting for the adults to keep you going. And Mr. Noodle would show up and basically he was just part of like Elmo's segment on every episode. And he would just do some like goofy clown type stuff. And it was so weird to me because I remember him being kind of terrifying in that movie, right? And then it, like even as an adult, I was like, this is uncomfortable because I've only ever seen that guy play a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's playing this like goofy clown that's just kind of like ditzy dumb, doesn't really know what like how the world works.
You're like, what is actually his
plan? Yeah. So anyway, there's my tangent.
So it's funny that you bring up Sesame Street because that was another thing my mom didn't really like. And so we didn't watch it.
You didn't watch Sesame Street?
No. She thought it gave kids ADHD, which
I
got anyway.
As you say, I also have it. So she's not right or wrong.
Yeah. She just didn't like it, I think.
Sure.
And now as an adult, I kind of get why parents wouldn't want their kids to watch something they don't like, because they have to sit and hear
it. You have to sit and deal with it. Yeah.
Even if you're not watching it. Yeah. And so now I'm like, yeah, I probably would not let my kids watch something that annoyed me.
According to my children, there's this really strange phenomenon in our house. Coco Melon just doesn't work. It's the weirdest thing.
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't play at our house. Specifically, wow. Everything else on Netflix plays just fine. But for some reason, Coco Melon doesn't work. Isn't that weird?
The world is out to get them. That is a strange phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like it works at all our friends' houses.
Yeah, it works at all the friends' houses, works at their grandparents' houses just fine. And, you know, my daughter like comes home and tells us how much she loves Coco Melon. And like, we're like, that's great.
Want to try and watch it? Yeah, and here's Bluey. Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, but so for one thing, I never saw Air Bud.
You never actually seen the movie.
I've never seen any of the Air Bud movies or the many sequels.
As you might imagine, it's not necessarily Oscar winning material.
No, I don't have any sense of FOMO about not seeing it.
Yeah, I understand why.
I think I did at the time, and it wasn't, you know, there wasn't streaming time yet. So like you had to go to Blockbuster,
rent it
or buy it, which that's so much money.
Oh yeah.
And, yeah. So I just never saw it, but I wanted to bring the dog. And so I don't know. I found a t-shirt that had Air Bud on it.
Wow. This is pretty
great.
And then
I had the dog with me, and that was my costume.
Oof.
But I'm like maybe 13 or 12 at this point. Yep. And like all the adults like glared at me when I would go up and ask for candy.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't look dressed up. I was just wearing a t-shirt and pants.
And you had a dog.
And I was like, I'm Air Bud's owner. Oh, like that was heartbreaking to me.
So this is a great time to segue into my Halloween experiences. Yeah. So I had two really interesting things as a kid, and the two things were that we didn't have a whole lot of money, mm-hmm. and my mom would always make my costume no matter what, because like we didn't have that that much money, right? So every year without fail, I would ask to be something ludicrous.
Mm.
And I went through the experience you had almost every year. My favorite of all time to talk about, because I think this is like the easiest one to bring up, is my mom asked me what I wanted to be for Halloween one year. And I said, Abe. And you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Abe.
Yep, Abe. So
wait, let me guess. Mm-hmm. My first guess is like, is it a family member?
No.
Or a family friend?
No.
Lincoln?
Nope.
Or did you mean one thing and she took it as Abe Lincoln?
Nope. It wasn't that good. My mom would make sure I got what I wanted.
Okay.
As best she could.
My guesses are up now.
Okay. So my favorite video game when I was a kid is called Abe's Odyssey. And it is about an alien whose name is Abe, who basically has a very strange look to him. He's very smooth and amphibian-ish. He's got like a loincloth, and then he's got really giant eyes, and his mouth is sewn shut.
Mouth restricting.
Oh, that's a thing for
out.
You? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So, but he can still talk. It's just... Yeah, for whatever
Does
reason.
Does his mouth like move, but like not open?
So the game is a PlayStation 1 game. So they didn't really like focus on like the graphics of his mouth moving in the
that's
game.
That's true. Yeah. But this is the 70s.
The intro, the intro screen though, he will talk to you when you're like, you're starting the game up, and his mouth moves freely, like between the sides. The sides have stitches. The center does not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my mom was like, oh my God, Adam, what am I going to do with this?
She took out a needle.
Nope.
And some thread.
No, I think she was a little bit upset this year because she'd been dealing with it forever. I was Genie one year, like in second grade. I can't really remember all of them. I remember my last costume, and I figure since you shared yours, I'll share mine eventually. But the Abe costume,
I'm in suspense.
The dude is like greenish, right? And with big bug eyes and stuff. So my mom was actually pretty clever. She got me a pair of green sweatpants and a green sweatshirt, brand spanking new, and then basically pulled out like those paint markers and painted on like all like the like chest muscles
patterns
and stuff that
stuff.
You can see. Yep. And then she gave me like a brown piece of cloth and just cut it up fancy and then just tied it around my waist. And that's my loincloth thing. And then for the head, she needed something that she could like do the stitch and do the eyeballs on. And so she actually got a ski mask, a green ski mask.
Nope. See, again, masks scare me.
Really?
That's like, yep. If someone's coming at me with a mask or any kind of like thing that I can't see your face.
Yeah. And... And then she she did like some big brown like stitches in like the mouth area. And then for the eyes, cause he's got big eyes, she actually took like those, like, you know, the eye sockets you have in a ski mask, and she like sewed on like white patches. So I could still see out of them like a mask. Mm-hmm. And then he also has like one strand of hair on the top of his head and a top knot. And so she actually sewed that on too. Honestly, given the assignment, did a great job. And we're definitely gonna have to post pictures of like the character and the costume.
If you don't have that photo, you need to talk to your mom.
Yeah, we gotta find it for sure. So she did a really, really good job. Problem is, even at that time, nobody had any idea what this was.
No,
my two best friends knew, and that was about it. So I would go to people's houses like, oh, Spider-Man.
Green?
They didn't know what to make of it. I was definitely dressed up. There was no question that I was dressed up as something. And then the actual last, that was mine. So, do you have another one?
I really can't wait now to see the photo.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not going to look like Spider-Man. Loincloth? Hair sticking out of his head? Like,
like I said, my mom did a really good job with the assignment. Mm-hmm. It is a homemade costume of a video game character.
Does it actually look a little bit like Spider-Man?
People are gonna see it and don't judge my mom. My mom did a really good job, everybody. Yeah. It might look a little dumpy. I don't really know what it's gonna look like now as an adult. It's gonna be funny to watch it.
I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do a poll of like, does this look like Spider-Man or not on social? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Diana's gonna love doing that.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So speaking of homemade costumes, we were in the same boat. We did not buy new stuff. Yep. We just used what we had. Yep. We did have a lot of like, costumes for like dress up and all of that. And there were like several years in a row of my childhood where every other year on one year, I would be Pippi Longstocking.
Oh.
And we would have the blue dress and apron, and then we would take a coat wire or a coat hanger wire and like string it through my braids and make them stick out and take like temporary red face paint or not face paint. That's a different character. I don't know who. Hair paint and paint it red.
Yeah.
And I'd have my dad's like work boots on, and then on the other years, I would be Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
Blue dress, apron, red shoes. I actually, at least one year in my life, I had like some red ruby slippers.
Yeah.
And my mom is a big Oz fan as well. You guys are learning so much about my mom.
Right? I mean, I guess maybe this is the Secret Moms episode.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We can all say one nice thing about our mom at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we still had braids, but this time, just brown, and well, my hair was like dirty blonde, and just straight down, no coat hanger wire.
Yep.
And this was like every other year for forever. And I remember at some point I was like, Mom, can I please be something else? And she was like, nope, this is what we got.
Wow. That's crazy. So the actual year as like a kid, the last time I went trick or treating, I went when I was 11 years old. Maybe 12. I think I might have been 12. I went as a wizard. I had like a big hat and a beard and like a robe and a staff. And that was the kind of thing like.
When you were saying, I thought you were going to say kilt. And I was like, that doesn't really fit.
Oh, but I think I was going to say cloak. I think is why I kept
probably
saying.
Probably cane.
Cane.
Cause maybe. You ended up saying
yeah, maybe
staff.
I said cane. Yeah. The staff and all that stuff. And I would go around and I was already like 5'10" ish. So basically every house I went to, they would be like, yeah, you're too old. And they would not give me candy. That hurt a lot.
How old were you?
12.
12?
Yeah.
5'10".
Yeah. I was pretty tall. Like I was actually like the tallest kid in my class every year for forever.
You also are probably the tallest person at this office, I'm guessing.
No, Austin's taller than me by 4 inches.
Oh, true, true. And Peter's really pretty tall too.
Yeah. Peter and I are pretty close. I think he might be just slightly shorter than me, slightly. But yeah, I'm definitely one of the taller people around.
Yeah. Usually. So I made that statement without thinking through it all.
That's all good.
But you are very tall.
Yeah, I am very tall. Thank you.
I always literally, even though we talk all the time, I always forget how tall you are.
Until I come
close
to you.
Most of the time we talk, we're either sitting here or like on a screen or sitting in a meeting room. Yep.
And if anyone's ever had a meeting with me, they know that I tend to like sit way far back in my chair and basically almost falling over and stuff.
Should I take a picture for social?
Yeah, maybe we should do another one. This is the photo album. And then the other last time I went, I was, I think 16 or 17, and on a whim, my friends and I decided to go trick or treating, and I didn't have a costume. And so I looked at my one best friend and I said, hey, do you have a pair of shorts? Cause we were at his house.
Oh no.
And he was like, yeah. And so I changed into his shorts with my belt because my best friend's a little bit bigger than I am. So I got the belt on and stuff. And then I went and grabbed a name sticker and I said, my name is other best friend. So basically one best friend gave me the pants, the other best friend I went as. And it, you know, that was the thing. And we just decided to like go walk around. Really, we just wanted to like kind of like interact with the kids and stuff. But,
we just wanted candy.
We wanted candy too. So we actually went and we did knock on a couple of houses.
Don't make it about being cute with the kids. Yeah. Like all it's right, about the candy.
We'll cut that part. So.
Oh no, I just mean like be honest with yourself. It's about candy.
It's about candy. So we actually went about two doors down from my best friend's house and across the street, knocked on the door, and the person that opened the door was our gym teacher. And we were all deer in the headlights, like, oh my God. And he was like, eh, don't worry about it, guys. I trick-or-treated all the way through college.
I so wish I could trick-or-treat, but I have like, and the sad thing is that I always want to like hand out trick-or-treat candy.
Yeah.
But basically every year for one reason or another, it doesn't happen.
Is it going to happen this year?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going to sit out with some candy, and I don't know if kids trick-or-treat around my area, but.
My kids, you know, rule trick-or-treating and stuff. And so we do a family costume. So mm-hmm. I do get to dress up and stuff. Yeah. I don't get any candy for myself because I feel weird about it, especially as an adult.
I would judge you at this point. Yeah, like, that's understandable.
I've actually seen like parents like get candy for themselves and like, it's always awkward. Anyway.
Like I'm just like, would I even hand it to them? I would just be like,
so
is this for your sick child at home?
So every year we've done trick or treating and stuff. And, last year we all went as dinosaurs and I had that inflatable costume and experience I reused.
We'll put a picture of that too.
Yep. And then this year we're going as witches and wizards. Lauren is going to be Elphaba.
Yes.
The obviously. Wicked Witch of the West, in case you haven't seen Wicked yet. And then my daughter's going to be Glinda. The
also Wizard of Oz, by the way.
The Good Witch of the East, is it?
Glinda's, East.
Yeah. Good Witch of the East.
North? I think it's North. No, North, because East is East.
Oh, East is the other
Nessa
one that gets
slash
that gets the smashed
unnamed
by the
witch
house.
In the, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then my son wants to be Gandalf.
Okay.
For Chad Bewley and Chad Bewley only, I'm going to be Harry Dresden because I happen to know Chad Bewley. He's also a Dresden Files fan. So basically a wizard from a book is all you really need to know. And then
I didn't know that he was a wizard. I know exclusively about these books.
Because of me.
Exclusively because of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know it was like.
Yeah. So in the book series, it's actually kind of like a cool idea. Basically, the concept is the main character is a private eye wizard.
Oh.
And he lists himself in the yellow pages as Harry Dresden wizard. No parties or entertainment. No spell, love potions or love spells or something like that. And then basically people hire him to deal with their weird stuff that happens in their lives and stuff. And then he always ends up being a human pincushion because whatever nasty monster he's dealing with is usually beating the crap out of him. That's like his whole thing. Anyway, yeah. So that's who I'm going to go as. My dad's going to go as one of the other wizards from Lord of the Rings, I think. No, sorry. My dad's going to do Harry Potter. That's right. My mom's going to be, one of the witches from Bewitched, like the old 60s sitcom. And then I think that's everybody, but my dad and my mom always dress up with the kids and stuff. Oh, and then my niece is going to come too, and she's going to be a black cat.
Nice.
But it's kind of funny because my nephew and my son are actually having the same costume this year. They're both Gandalf. And so we're going to go trunk or treating with them on Sunday.
Oh, wait, is one of them going to be white Gandalf, one's gray?
No.
Oh.
And I also don't want to spoil it for Harrison because
he's only
read The Hobbit.
Oh,
so he doesn't know that there's
even a
Gandalf the White.
No.
And like, it's so hard to keep, it's like the Darth Vader spoiler, right? It's so hard to keep that quiet.
Yeah.
You know, so like in our personal lives, I'm actually trying to get Lauren like let him watch slightly more mature movies. I'm not trying to push
it. I just can't hold in the spoilers.
But yeah, that's just it. Like I know like he goes a couple more years and he's going to get all the kinds of stuff spoiled for him.
Yeah.
So
I feel like people will, if they see the two Gandalfs, if they don't even see it as like, oh, they're just two generic wizards, maybe they'll see that. But yeah, if they see two Gandalfs and they're like, oh, you should have, one of you should have gone as white.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's gonna be like, what are you talking about? Or Harry's gonna be like, what are you talking about? My nephew will probably spoil it the first thing he sees him anyway, so.
Oh, does he, he's.
My nephew's seen everything. My nephew's 13 or 14,
okay,
so he's
seen
it all.
Yeah.
So, Audrey, I hear you're a huge fan of scary movies, and I hear like that one scary movie where they get a call and then she gets asked if she's a fan of scary movies, you'd be able to answer all the trivia questions.
Wait, is that The Ring? I know there's phone calls in the ring.
No.
Because it's not about like a ring. It's about the telephone ring, right?
Okay. There is a phone call in the movie The Ring. Yes. It has nothing to do with what I was just talking about.
Okay.
Not a thing. So we'll talk about this
one
more time.
Which one is, are you a fan
in the movie
of
Scream? The opening
is that the
scene,
comedy one?
It's weird because it's like kind of slightly funny.
Oh, Scary Movie. That's the one I was.
You're thinking of Scary Movie. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Scream, was like a movie that it's almost a little bit silly because like the serial killer is obsessed with scary movies and then like everything is about scary movie tropes and stuff. And, then that's how the movie actually starts is like, are you a fan of scary movies? And then she's like, no, or yes, or whatever. I don't even remember she answers. I just remember that she gets one of the trivia questions wrong and then she has to die.
So any spoiler,
spoiler for
was
a
not
90-
spoiled because nobody, Adam didn't know what she says.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Although you did actually spoil that she dies.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. Drew Barrymore does not make it throughout the movie, guys. Sorry. Spoiler from a movie that's, I think, 28 years old at this point.
Well, I haven't seen it and you just spoiled it for me and I wasn't planning on watching it. So.
Anyway, Audrey, yes. Are you a fan of scary movies?
No.
Why not?
Well, the longer answer is it depends on what you mean by scary.
Okay.
Because if it's like psychological, like that kind of fear, then I'm there for it. Like, I like Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
But I don't like, for example, Saw. Or just
is it like the gore type stuff?
Anything where like the fear, like where it's just trying to get you to feel fear.
Okay.
And there's no value for the plot or there's nothing interesting about the fear. It's just trying to get you to like jump in your seat or out of your seat rather. I don't like fear for fear's sake. If I'm going to feel that tension, I'm okay with tension and suspense. I don't like even in, maybe spoiler. Just kidding. Not really. But in the, it's in a Harry Potter movie. One of the later ones and they're in a cave and they're crossing this body of water.
It's Half-Blood Prince.
So six. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I did start with the correct.
All
sound.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
This, okay. So in six, they're in a cave in the water or on the water in a boat and there's a thing that jumps out at them.
Yeah.
And I know it's coming. Then I first saw it in the theaters.
Jump scare.
And then now every time though, I'm like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And I should like probably count the seconds so that I know for the next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like that jump scare. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why, because like psychological fear is.
So
yeah,
I'm interested to see how you feel about the plot lines of my two favorite scary movies then.
Okay. Because, well, so you are a fan of scary movies.
Not really. I don't necessarily seek out like horror movies or anything. It's not like a thing for me, but I have seen a couple of like what I would call the classics. Like Halloween doesn't do anything for me. That movie's boring. Friday the 13th. I don't know.
See,
whatever.
That's scary for scary's sake.
Yeah. And like Nightmare on Elm Street, same sort of thing, right? I'm trying to think like other scary movies. I haven't seen any like because like we're kind of in this like golden age of scary movies right now where they're like coming back. Oh, maybe I should preface this. I'm a little bit of a movie buff, so I tend to like know things about movies I haven't actually seen. So I haven't seen these, but like Hereditary, Midsommar.
I watched Midsommar for the first time.
Oh, man.
Like
that's when I've been
last
like,
year,
ooh, I don't know if I can handle that.
That was intense. So, because when I moved to Sweden.
Right. Were you hoping it was like a documentary about Midsommar? Because
I knew what it was. But like people there would be like, oh, you know, Midsommar's not like the movie. And I was like, I know.
Yeah.
And then like also, and when I wanted to have a Midsommar party here when I moved back, everyone was like, oh my gosh, like Midsommar the movie, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's not like that. So, but I hadn't seen it. And then I was like, okay, maybe I actually should watch it.
Yeah.
And it was really intense.
Yeah.
Definitely psychologically scary.
Yeah,
and
that's
just
what I've heard.
Trippy and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and like we're kind of in this golden age where like Get Out and Us and Nope exist, right? And like those are all really good. So like horror movies are going through this like really interesting change where it's like they're trying to become something more than they have been. So there are some actual like strong plotted ones now, but that wasn't always a thing in the past.
And would you call those horror though? Or like suspense maybe? I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, it like Us especially is hard to not call a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Get Out's weird because I guess I can kind of see it like riding this sort of like horror comedy boundary, mm-hmm. but Us is absolutely like actually. So we have a movie club here at Configure, mm-hmm. kind of like a book club, and we've done a handful of scary movies. I chose Us. It's actually my personal favorite of that director Jordan Peele's movies. And that one, I actually had two people who both simultaneously said, I'm out, I'm done. And they turned off the TV and they just were like, tried mm-hmm. to do something else the rest of the night because it bothered them that much. Mm-hmm. But Us is like very much like trying to say something. It's a little bit on the artsy side, but it's real creepy.
Is it as artsy as that one that I messaged you about that one time?
It's less artsy than I'm trying to end things. I'm thinking of ending things.
Yeah. That was peak COVID where I was by myself too much and watched this movie and I was like, Adam, this is interesting.
See this movie and my wife and I watched it. And we're like, Audrey, what did you just subject us
what
to?
What are you doing over there?
Anyway, so my two favorite scary movies are Alien, not mm-hmm. Aliens, but mm-hmm. Alien and The Thing. Both, I think, do a really good job of having an interesting plot to follow. It's not just horror for horror's sake, but the horror is insane. Like, it is very scary stuff. Like, really intense. It puts all the fears in like one bucket: fear of the unknown, jump scares, like all that stuff, and like psychological horror. All three, it's nailing all three at the same time, which I think is awesome. But what I really appreciate about those movies is like you're invested at least in some, if not all, of the characters. In Alien, I think they do a good job because the first 40 minutes are like sci-fi world building stuff. Mm-hmm. And it feels very much like you end up caring a lot about these characters and then they start getting, you know, bumped off one by one. Mm-hmm. And The Thing.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah. And The Thing, the whole plot of The Thing is that, this alien entity has been released and it can basically take the place of a person without you noticing it. Ooh. And they're trying to figure out which among them is human, which among them are not. Ooh. And, when the thing reveals itself, it does some crazy body horror stuff. It's like, whoa. And like,
yeah, like body morphing on screen too. I don't enjoy it. Like,
and this is like
werewolf
the most,
movies. Oh, I'm like, can out? We spend, well, I get bored. Like, I'm like, how long? Like, cause I, guilty pleasure, I love Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
But when I watch it,
yeah,
like, especially the first times that people become werewolves, like
a vampire or something. Yeah.
No, werewolves specifically. Oh, okay. There are a lot of vampires though too, obviously. Right. But like, it's like, they show like 5 minutes of just like writhing in pain and muscle
agony,
or like bones breaking
and stuff. Yeah,
and then they'll cut to another scene and then they'll come back for like another 5 minutes of like writhing and pain and yelling. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just like skip past those scenes.
Do you know why that is actually?
I don't know. Like, do people like that?
So I think in some cases people like that. I think in some cases it does make people like really uncomfortable and kind of gives them like the chills that they're looking for. But in a lot of cases, there's special effects work. There's like a whole thing about like body morphing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the movie.
Well, I'm sure it's really fun for special effects.
Yeah. I'm trying
people.
To remember which movie it is. I think it's like an American Werewolf in London or something like that. Mm-hmm. American Werewolf Pair or something like that. One of those movies is got this scene with like the werewolf transformation that among VFX artists is considered like one of the chef's kiss of all time.
And that's an old one.
Yeah. 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 Huh. And like to this day, it's still considered like the one of the holy grails of like watching somebody change, kind of thing. But yeah, they it's a good 3.5 to 4 minute scene.
Yeah. Just
like, yeah, exactly. And it's hard to watch. It's really uncomfortable. It's really unnerving.
And I'm bored.
Yeah. The thing,
like,
I don't
like watching people in pain in general. Yeah. And I'm like, I would rather watch like magical visual effects. Like,
yeah.
Give me some like Willy Wonka or
sure.
some like Fantastic Beasts of fun magic. Like, yeah.
And the thing, when they body morph, it doesn't tend to be into a shape that you would expect is like a big part of like the horror of it. Mm-hmm. And it just does wild things. I would show you this scene, but I'm scared it's going to mess with you.
Yeah.
Because like, the body morphing doesn't take long. It's all super quick and like it's kind of over. Yeah, I can't get into it without really probably freaking you out, but like it's really good. So yeah, excellent movie, but holy crap, prepare yourself. It is not an easy watch.
Yeah. Good to know.
So those are my two personal favorites. And I think like I'm with you though. Like a big chunk of like the horror genre is just about trying to get you the scares, especially in the '90s. Like you got Final Destination, you got Scream, you got the millionth version of Freddy and Jason movies, right? Like we've all seen it before kind of thing. And those movies in particular are ones that I just think are just so good at nailing this. There's a plot to it. There's characters you care about. There's things going on that you care about. And also, oh my God, what is that? Like that's what I think makes it so great is like they found a good way to mix it up. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Hello and welcome to your occasional Nerd Alert. I was going to say weekly, but it's not weekly. It's like bi-weekly Nerd Alert.
Yeah, except this one is
a reverse Nerd Alert with Audrey instead of Adam because this is a bonus episode after all. And of all the topics we had written down for Audrey to do a reverse Nerd Alert about, we actually chose the one that is the most horrifying to me, which is Audrey's going to talk about all the things she knows about math and science for 2 minutes because that's all the content that we have.
I think it's a pretty thorough list, and I think it's about all that I need in my daily life and maybe even a little bit more. So my math and science teachers from the past are going to be so proud, I think, and not at all mortified.
Are you ready, Audrey?
I'm so ready.
Okay. And 3, 2, 1, go.
The first thing that I know about science is vestigial organs, which are organs that different creatures have that they don't actually use. And the reason I remember this is because we had a test and I remembered that I knew the name of this thing, but I couldn't remember it during the test. And so then after the test, I was like, oh my gosh, of course, vestigial organs. And I screamed throughout the hall and I swore that I would never forget it. And I haven't. The next thing I know is a Googleplex. And what I know about that is it's a huge number that you can't even like write because it's so long, basically. I know about black holes, which are things in space that consume everything around them. And they're really scary. And I'm scared that I will die in one. Tip math. I'm actually really good at tip math because you just move the decimal 1 point to the left. That's 10%. And then you times it by 2. And that gives you a good 20% tip. And then go up or down from there if you, you know, feel generous or if bad service, whatever. Unless you're in Sweden, don't tip. I know the phrase correlation does not mean causation. I don't know if that's really actually mathy, sciencey, but I feel like it applies and it also applies to a lot of things in life. I'm really, really good at finding Orion in the night sky. That's science. And, like seriously so good at it. I know the quadratic formula because we had a sing-songy version of it. It's A equals opposite of B plus or minus the square root of B square minus 4AC all over 2A. I know that prime numbers are things that you can't divide by anything except itself and one. And then I also am really good at multiplying by 9. But I have a really bad time explaining it. So how many seconds do I have left?
10.
Okay. So basically you take the first digit that's being multiplied and then,
3
minus 1 and then the
2,
second digit,
1,
the difference between 9 and that one.
I think I gave you an extra second
up
there.
Up to 9. I don't think it really works after that. But, I got through my whole list.
You got through the whole list. That's great. The black hole thing, I definitely think we should revisit. Audrey talks about black holes next Halloween because I feel like you know more than you said.
I mean, yeah, I tried to summarize for like the first grade level.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we should do for next Halloween.
Just
Audrey talks about black holes.
I might have to brush up, but did you see there's like a picture of a black hole that
there
someone took
yeah.
a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Super cool and horrifying again.
Did you see the look on the woman's face when it was finally created?
Right. Cause isn't there one in like Switzerland or something? Didn't they make one on Earth?
Sorry. There's not a black hole in Switzerland, but they did make you're talking about like the creation of the image.
Well, there's the image mm-hmm. that they got in space.
Right.
But I thought there was like some experiment where they're trying to like make one, which doesn't make sense to me that it could exist.
Oh, but you might be talking about a miniature black hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Like that. So yeah, there is this concept of a miniature black hole, which doesn't defy any laws of physics. Basically, black holes can be of any size. Mm-hmm. It's a question of how much matter is in how big of a space. Mm. So a miniature black hole could be created, with even like a single atom of matter. It's just a question of collapsing that matter so closely together that it becomes a black hole.
Yeah.
And there's also this thing called the Schwarzschild radius, which is basically how big the black hole part is, for lack of a better term. And that depends heavily on the matter that gets, you know, condensed. Yeah. So it's possible to make one. In fact, there's some people that think the Large Hadron Collider had a chance to make miniature black holes when it was. Large Hadron Collider.
Maybe I don't know more than you think I know.
I mean, well, this is, we're talking about quantum mechanics now. We're avoiding black holes.
But I'm interested.
So yeah, the Large Hadron Collider is a, you know what a particle collider is or no?
I know what a particle is, more or less. I mean, mostly from Golden Compass, which is not particularly accurate.
Okay, but in history, do you know the significance of, like, having an observatory, like a sky observatory?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can see the sky.
Right, but I mean, like, it was something like the rich did. This was, like, the peak of science back in the day. Mm-hmm. So the current peak of science is a particle collider. And what we do is we take electrons and we get them really close to the speed of light by turning them around and around and around in a tube. And then we hit a piece of matter with it and see what happens. So that is actually what's being used in, like, the cutting edge of, like, quantum mechanics research to understand different particles that exist. Because basically when that collision happens, weird stuff happens because that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. Like chaos.
It's a very chaotic thing that happens. Yeah, absolutely.
And we know about chaos from a previous Nerd Alert.
Yeah. We can also, we can actually turn, like, different metals into different metals by, like, taking protons, speeding them up, and then smacking them into, like, a sheet of silver. Anyway, the LHC, is the premier particle collider in the world. It's huge. I can't remember how big it is. But it can get particles going the fastest of all particles, that have been used in colliders. And so there was thoughts that, like, when the thing got first turned on, there was, like, I'm going to call it, like, a fringe group of scientists that were like, this is going to be, like, the world ending thing. This is going to ruin us all. Like, we're all going to die. We haven't, obviously, but the idea was that it was going to create miniature black holes, which have different properties than regular ones, and was going to do weird stuff to us. And we were all going to die because of it.
I mean, so. Yeah, that's what I feel like would happen.
Yeah.
But I am not a scientist. Although, okay, I learned something fun on the internet, so who knows if it's true, but I choose to believe it is.
No science stuff on the internet's false, right?
The word scientist was made because there was a woman who was, like, a chemist and a physicist, or I don't know, a bunch of different ists. Up to that point, they just used the phrase man of science. And then they were like, well, she's not a man of science, so they came up with the word scientist.
For Marie?
Who it was, actually.
Oh, that feels very Marie Curie to me. I'll be curious to know.
I would have to explore my Instagram feed.
Do you know who Marie Curie is?
I do, of course. Yeah.
She's awesome. But like, I just one of the greatest scientists ever.
I don't
lived,
know so. If it was her.
Yeah.
But it could be.
It very well could have been. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was Audrey's Nerd Alert with a bonus Nerd Alert basically tied to it, talking about the LHC. So.
An untimed Nerd Alert, but still was pretty succinct.
Yeah. So. Try to. Okay.
I do really like Hitchcock.
Okay. Hitchcock's great.
I don't really want to watch The Birds. That freaks me out for some reason.
I found The Birds kind of boring for a good chunk of it, too.
That's what I've heard, too. But yeah. So it's like, I don't want to be bored. And then I also don't love the idea of birds attacking me. So I'm like,
sure. I get it. I mean, I've gotten swooped by, like, a blue jay before.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. It's not fun.
No. Yeah.
So I'm trying to
avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
But the only Hitchcock that I've watched that I didn't like, which is funny that I didn't like it, is called The 39 Steps.
Oh, really? Okay.
But Adam, you may be surprised to hear this because you probably know that my favorite play in the world is also called The 39 Steps.
It's the same one,
which
too.
Is almost exactly the same, like, lines and it's the same plot, same characters, mostly the same lines, but it's just done really fast and in a comedic fashion.
Mm.
But when it's done dramatically, it's like, it's slow and it's,
I didn't
boring.
Realize it was supposed to be a comedy as a play. I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah. It's hilarious. It's a farce. It's great.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And you have like two actors who are playing like 47 different people. And then one actress who plays three different roles. And then you only have one actor who's only plays one person the whole time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun. But the movie was just really dry.
Yeah. Which Hitchcock movies do you like? Because you said you like Hitchcock.
I loved Vertigo.
Okay.
I liked Psycho.
I've not seen Vertigo, actually.
Oh, it's
I've seen Psycho. I've seen Rear...
Rear Window is
Rear Window. Okay, it is Rear Window. I've seen Rope, I think it's called.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
And I've seen North by Northwest. God dang it.
I haven't seen that one either. I don't know how I haven't seen
North by Northwest. Well, to be honest, that was actually one of the few things in Movie Club I hadn't experienced it. Oh. And I did get to experience it as an adult. One of our older configurants actually has joined the group because he's also a pretty big movie buff. And it's kind of cool having him in the group because he's good about picking movies that like are older. Mm-hmm. So like he basically spent a lot of time with his grandfather. And like, so he was like Cary Grant type stuff is like what he picks. And like, he feels bad sometimes because he thinks maybe it's getting a little old, but I actually really appreciate it because I haven't seen a lot of that stuff. And North by Northwest was one of the ones he picked, and I was really glad for it.
I really like Cary Grant.
Super sexist. Oh my God.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I mean, it's the 60s, so you can't really get away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can't.
I swear there's like a joke or a line or something like that about calling his wife in the kitchen or something like that. It's just like, oh my God, dude.
No.
Oh, or something. I can't even remember. It was like, I remember looking at Lauren and being like, oh my God.
Okay. You're like, I'm sorry for being a man.
Sometimes.
No, but Cary Grant is great. In fact, I'm working on, prototyping for our new neighborhood platform that hopefully will launch by the end of the year. And so I've made up a bunch of, which by the way is like what the feedback community is going to become. So, you know,
yeah, when we talk about the feedback community in the inevitable future, because we recorded those episodes before this one.
Oh, true. Don't be confused. Going to become the neighborhood and be a new and improved platform. But yeah, I had a bunch of like made up users that I just put in there, and Cary Grant was one of them. I don't know why. I just was like, it was late at night and I was like, what are random names that I can have pop into my head right now? So I was like, Cary Grant, Harry Potter's one, Alison Bechdel, who's an author and cartoonist. And then Philomena, which is not a person that is like a character or anything. I just, that name popped in my head. It's a really random assortment. Well, Matt Foley is another one. Motivational speaker.
Oh.
Chris Farley.
I wonder if there's an actor I'm have to look up after we're done talking. I swear his name is also Matt Foley.
What?
Well, if it's the same guy, that's going to be really weird.
It's not, because Matt Foley is a character by Chris Farley.
Oh, you're talking about the guy who's in a van down by the river.
Matt Foley, motivational speaker. Yes, van down by the river.
Okay, sorry.
Oh my God, it's so good. I should go watch that after this. Yeah. It makes me happy.
Oh no, it's a great one. But yeah, no, I think that those are all excellent choices. What I did when I was working at one of my old jobs, I had to keep a bunch of people straight, who their bosses were, who their associates were, and that kind of thing. So you know what I did? I used comic book characters.
Nice.
So Clark Kent worked for Perry White, and like I knew all those associations because like, who's Spider-Man's boss? It's J. Jonah Jameson. Mm-hmm. Who's Batman's boss? Well, he doesn't have one. He's his own boss. He is the boss, but he's got these guys that work for him, you know, like that kind of stuff.
He's got Alfred.
Yeah, exactly. Got Alfred and like that kind of thing. That's how actually I did it, to keep all the people straight in their relationships. So that was kind of fun.
That is smart. That's smart.
Once in a while, I have an idea that's not terrible.
It's kind of not exactly a mnemonic device, but kind of similar.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like we've had a good discussion.
I think so. Yeah. Hopefully you enjoy this one. I know this isn't really our normal thing.
No, but sometimes
really talk about the software, but it's kind of fun to talk about the hosts a little bit and you know, do something different.
Mood.
Yeah.
Get spooky.
Yep.
By the way, Adam was also laughing just silently, and I feel like I was the only one laughing out loud, so I sounded like I was
wasn't laughing at all. I don't know what she's talking about.
You do have plausible deniability, and he's still doing it.
No, not.
You could hear it in that voice. Anyways, I don't think I'm the only one who thinks I'm funny, and that's important to me. So feel free to email snapintoit@configure.com if you think I'm funny. And if you don't,
also email snapintoit@configure.com. And then I just delete the email before Audrey sees it. How's that?
Yeah, but please do delete it before I see it, because
Audrey's fragile eagle can't handle it.
Yeah, no, I can't. Yeah,
that's the real horror movie. Yeah. Everyone's just saying, you're not funny.
Yeah, the horror movie is when Audrey gets an email that says, Audrey's not funny. Ugh, I know that sometimes my jokes fall flat, but overall, I like to think I'm funny. Anyways, now that we've established that.
How funny you are.
Good job, Adam.
Good job, Audrey. And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.